You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dom.
Good morning.
Yes. And we are also produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Make sure you check out all of our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And technically, we're posting YouTube shorts, but that's basically all we're using YouTube for right now.
It's pretty much just like a reel on TikTok or Instagram.
I mean, I didn't know he was doing that, so I just learned that. So there you go. Oh. You can watch shorts on YouTube.
Also, check out our website, limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, for all your podcasting needs, just not ours, even though ours is the best. But there's other amazing ones that you can listen to. Merch, membership, we're streaming music videos now, we're streaming TV shows. There's so much.
Things.
So many things. To go look at.
Yes.
I haven't even seen what TV shows we have yet. I haven't been on there.
It's a bunch of old stuff.
It's,
I think he's got, like, the Carol Burnett show up there. And maybe
sure
I Love Lucy
is
up there. Dick Van Dyke, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple seasons, maybe, of that. Okay. Yeah. It's, like, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Which is sure hilarious, because it's already stuff that I watch in my house, because my husband loves old TV shows.
A man of watch class. It more. A man with good taste.
Yeah.
Andy Griffith and Dick Van Dyke is, like, on a loop sometimes in this house.
Never cared for Andy Griffith, but Dick Van Dyke is just a cool, like, he's so cool. I love him.
I love it.
Yeah, I love Dick Van Dyke.
I want to be a Dick Van Dyke
Andy Griffith is Brett's favorite. Yeah.
Andy Griffith is classic, I mean.
It is, but Barney drives me nuts, and he knows it, so he doesn't play it as much around me anymore. Because Barney is just... It's very much, it did not age well when it comes to how he talks about women, and it pisses me off.
Well, I could see that. Yeah.
I love Andy. It's just Barney.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow. we got out of sync. We are on week, I don't know what week we're on, but we are on season four. Wait,
week 117.
7 plus 4.
11?
42.
11. We're on week 11 of Joss Whedon vs. Summer. We are on season 4 of Angel. And I feel like, at least I finished season 6 of Buffy.
Season 4.
That's how I feel about it right now.
Way to hell.
Season 4 is like...
It sure is.
Someone described it as like a horror TV show for this season. And I would agree. Especially after what I saw in episode 7.
Yeah. It just keeps on...
That was horrific.
It doesn't even stop there. It just keeps on going for, like, I don't even know, like, the majority of the season. How many episodes did we have of Angelus? That's what I... Because I feel like it was there for a while. It was there for
three or four.
It
felt like more.
It feels like
didn't
longer,
they, like, trick
but...
them? Didn't they trick them to make him think he's Angel and they released him? But he was really still Angelus.
Yeah, and then he tricked him into letting him out, and that's when he just ran amok.
Yeah. Ah, go ahead.
Honestly, I'm surprised he didn't turn to Angelus at the end of season 7 when he saw what he saw.
Season 7?
Episode 7?
Episode 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's only like, happiness, though.
I would go evil.
Yeah. Well, he already went. Turning evil doesn't turn him into Angelus. It's only joy that makes him into Angelus.
I know, but that would have pushed the edge. Been like, well, mm-hmm. maybe joy isn't the only thing to turn me.
Yeah. Well, we pretty much already saw that. Episodes. We saw that in season two, pretty much. So.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh God,
it was a while.
Six episodes.
A long time.
He's listed at least the little blurb. It lists Angelus six times. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's at the very, very end of the first one when he gets turned, right. But still. Yeah, that's a lot more episodes.
Yeah, no. By the end of it, I was just like, okay,
that's Angelus.
You can only take so much, you know? It's like, it's fun to play just the dark side of everything, but eventually, you know, mm-hmm. like, we need some moral gray area again. We need some conflict.
Well, when we were watching it, we just felt like Angelus now versus season two Buffy Angelus was not quite mm-hmm. the same. Like season two,
a lot of
Buffy,
people say that
was too
better.
Snarky.
Yeah,
it was way too snarky.
Yeah,
like he's always been snarky, but he was a lot more sinister in his earlier days. And this one, it was just like mm-hmm. I'm evil and I'm having fun all the time, and just you know, I don't mm-hmm. know, it was different.
Yeah,
one of the review videos I was watching, like they talked about that, and they're like it's very different. It's like mm-hmm. almost like he had this weird maturing of Angelus mm-hmm. where it's like instead of just being wild teenage buck crazy as mm-hmm. evil, he kind of reels it back
mm-hmm. yeah
and is more mm-hmm. intentional.
I can see that. He's definitely a lot more calculating.
Yeah,
because one thing about Angelus is that he's very smart. He's not an idiot. He's not like impulsive like Spike. I mean, you know, because he was planning this whole thing. I mean, from day one, like he knew how to manipulate everybody when he's still in the cage and he's talking to all the different cats. He knew exactly what to say to get under mm-hmm. their skin and make them lose control. So if he can do that, he was probably plotting from the minute he became Angelus as to, okay, how am I going to convince everyone to let me out of this cage? Thinking, you know, mm-hmm. that I'm good. And then, yeah, he's kind of a genius.
It makes me kind of wonder how much of that still is retained in Angel and how much he ignores that.
Oh, I'm sure he ignores all of it.
Because there's no way that goes away. No, that manipulation, that kind of, that genius mm-hmm. goes away. Like, I feel Angel, it would have been interesting if they were able to explore Angel kind of starting to mm-hmm. use that. I don't know if he used it while he was at Wolfram and Hart in season 5 because I didn't get to mm-hmm. watch it, but I feel like he mm-hmm. could have used it in season 5.
Oh, no, he definitely could have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they even fully embraced it when in the episode of Orpheus, where Faith and Angelus are, what happened? Like he was unconscious, or she was unconscious, and they were both unconscious. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Long story short, he basically said, "I'm always here."
When Faith was in her mind, Faith was in his mind.
Yeah.
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 And he basically mm-hmm. said, look, I'm always around. Angelus is always around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always lurking.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of got on a rampage on season.
We already started. I just. Yeah. Okay.
It's all going to be edited later, and it's all going to be great promo, and it's all going to be good content.
It's great. Yes. Very true. So. The fourth season of Angel. This originally aired on the WB from October 6, 2002 to May 7th, 2003. It premiered later but ended earlier than the seventh and final season of Buffy. So Angel was done with that season before the finale came out for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, and our summary. With both Angel and Cordelia still missing, Fred, Gunn, and Connor try to keep Angel investigations running while they search for their friends. Ironically, the man who everyone believes betrayed Angel is the one who finally comes to Angel's rescue. Then Cordelia mysteriously reappears with no memory of her life or friends, and confused, she chooses to take refuge with Connor, setting into motion the events that will alter their lives forever.
The subject.
No.
Schoolboy fantasy. Okay, anyway.
No.
Mute him.
I might have to. That's your warning. Right there.
That, out of all the things I've done, that's my warning. Oh, okay, I guess it's fair.
I just hate this storyline so much.
No, it's bad. No, it's really bad. It's hard to watch. It's very hard to watch.
Yes. Especially when he was, like, he's portrayed, supposed to be younger.
Mm-hmm. No, he was supposed to be about 15, and then they aged him up.
Yeah, 15,
conveniently 16. In 3 months. Like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
Nah, bro.
And now he's 18.
Mm-mm. I know. Like, when it... I can't.
Come on. 18 is still very much a kid. You're not, you know... I don't care what the law says.
It's gross.
If you held them as a baby, you don't touch them.
No. 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 No.
This was the early 2000s. Cast. Grooming was okay.
No, it wasn't.
But, like, culturally, we're all... Like, do you, I mean, you
culturally,
remember...
Culturally, it was different.
Slightly off topic, but kind of because we talked about them recently, when the Olsen twins turned 18 and everybody was building up to it. Oh, y'all remember that.
So gross.
Yeah, I mean, grown men in their 30s and 40s were counting down the days until they turned 18. That was, like, a thing back then. And we were all just like, all right.
It's disgusting.
Like... No, like, we ever just think about how sick that actually is? And how we just kind of, like, okayed that? Like, I don't know.
It's terrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So the cast, our main cast. Of course, David is back as Angel. Charisma is here as Cordelia. And this is really the end of Cordelia.
Yeah.
Super sad. Also, yeah, she's like fake Cordelia. That's fair, Ashley. So, yeah, she's like fake. Alexis is back, of course, as Wesley. J. August Richards Gunn. Amy as Fred. Vincent, unfortunately, is back as Connor for the whole season. And Andy is back as Lorne, and he's in almost every episode this season.
I do love Lorne.
Mm-hmm. He is one of my favorite characters, if not my favorite. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for reoccurring, we have Stephanie back as Lila, Vladimir, whatever, as Beast. I don't know, Kulich, something.
Yeah.
Gina Torres as Jasmine.
Gina.
So I like the actress a lot.
We're going to talk about her in 2 weeks.
I actually like the character.
I don't care for this character. I don't, like, hate the character, I guess. It's the storyline. You know what? That's fair. I don't necessarily hate the character, but I do just hate the
I would like the storyline a lot better if it wasn't just shoehorned in at the end. Because this season really just winded. Yeah. There were so many different storylines. Like, there was the Cordy storyline, then there was the Beast storyline, then there was the Angela storyline. And it's like, who's the real baddie here? Like, we keep thinking, you know, we're going to finally meet the big baddie. And then finally we get to Jasmine, and it's like, is that the big baddie that we've been building to? Which would have been fine if it had been a
was
her
she
all
shoehorned
along,
it you know? Because of what happened between Joss and
Charisma? Yeah, I might as well just what I read. Yeah. This is what I read.
Yeah.
No idea if this is 100% true. What I read was that, and I think this is actually worse, which is telling you something. So the original plan was that Cordelia was going to come back from, you know, wherever she was. And when she was up there, she decided that all of humanity needed to be destroyed. So Cordelia was going to come back and be the big bad, quote unquote. She was going to be the evil person, only it was going to be her, not a possessed Cordelia. It was going to be Cordelia. She was going to, you know, screw around the whole season. And then at the very end, she and Angel were going to get into a fight, and Angel was going to kill her.
Wow.
Which is definitely, I would say, worse than this plot line.
But that's very Joss.
Joss Whedon. That's Joss Whedon dark right there. That's trademark Joss Whedon. Yeah. He loves to just watch people suffer.
Yeah.
He gets off on it.
So that was the original plan. And then she came back pregnant, and then I guess that's why they decided they were going to have her just birth the evil and brought Gina in kind of like last minute.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it would have been kind of poetic because she started off as this horrible, horrendous person that we could not stand, or you're not supposed to stand in Buffy.
Right.
And then her kind of see all of it and then
have this whole transformation become this person that we care about, this strong ally, this complex, deep person, and then
end up being
someone we hate again.
The ultimate.
It's tragedy. It's definitely it would be a poetic tragedy for sure.
Yes. Because Angel can never be happy.
No.
He can never be happy. Like, him and Cordelia, even if they were in love, it could never happen, just like him and Buffy, or he would turn in jealous. Like, it just... I'm not gonna lie. I hated that they fell in love.
I didn't like that storyline either.
I don't like Cordelia and Angel falling in love. I do. We already saw that start, but we saw her obsession with him in Buffy, and he ignored her. She was a very different person in Buffy, though.
Like, I think I liked them in Angel because both of them had significantly grown. I mean, Angel to an extent, because he can't really grow necessarily. He's on a long path to redemption. But Cordelia had really turned to 180. Like, she had matured a lot and become a lot more interesting. So it's like, I compared like Buffy and Angel as boy-girl relationship, high school romance, and then Angel Cordelia as man-woman, adult, more relationships, more complex, more nuanced, more, I mean, you know.
Yes. I liked them as kind of a best friend
duo.
That's fair. I think I just didn't care to see Angel needing another love interest. Yeah. Like, he did it with Buffy.
I don't think
he was a lot. Him happy.
Yeah. He's not going to be happy. Like, we know, right?
Happy.
He's not allowed to be happy. No, not, so to me, it's like, it's a waste of time. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I want him to have at least
I just like them as best buddies.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Well, and we already have these storyline. We already had the storyline of what's her face coming back and her all of a sudden getting pregnant and all these things. Like, we have those other little things that if you want to see him have some weird little love thing going on or potential romantic thing, we had those things going on. We don't need like a main one.
Yeah.
Give him someone to flirt with or give him something to like hate. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, well, next season they love do. For at one point in time.
Next season, they do give him a new love interest, which I liked that one because it was much simpler. But
I think it just needed to be somebody outside of the circle that we have already seen.
Because they all like to date each other, you know.
Sounds familiar.
Well, that happens sometimes.
It does, unfortunately.
Fortunately, we lived it, not us.
Yes, we definitely know.
Our people live it.
Real life, yes.
Small towns.
Oh boy.
Anyways, we edited Gina Torres'
job. We didn't finish the cast. So, yes, we also have Alexa Davola. I don't know. As Gwen. Eliza is back as Faith for a couple episodes. Daniel Day Kim is Gavin. And then Roger Yuan is Wopang. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. I messed up all of your names. So, our top episodes, we just kind of mentioned this one, season 4 episode 15, Orpheus, and that's when Fred calls Willow to re-ensoul Angel, and there's a mysterious source interfering, aka Cordelia, that no one knows about. And then Faith's strategy to capture Angelus has an unexpected side effect, so that's when they do the brain thing together. So it got 9 out of 10.
It's a good chance to actually go into Angel's psyche and just see it from, you know, a physical point of view. And we have a man versus beast moment where Angel and Angelus actually meet and have to confront each other.
I did like that. I thought that
was
fun.
Yeah, they showed that in the review I watched. That was interesting.
Yeah, I liked their little fight scene. Yeah, it was different. Next highest rated, 8.9 out of 10, was season 4, episode 13, Salvage. So this is when Wesley tells Faith that Angelus has returned and Faith escapes from prison. And then Wesley brings her to LA to try and grab him. I just like anytime Faith is around.
I love her too. She's so great. She's a lot of fun.
She grew on me.
And the way she breaks out of prison, you know, once Wesley tells her and she's just like, Stand back.
Great moment.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a great moment because you realize
she has the strength.
She has the strength.
We know how strong she is.
Yeah, and it shows a lot about her character, like the fact that she could break out at any time and she's choosing to be there, you know? She's a lot more, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to her.
She's got a good redemption arc, I think.
She does. She's
From where she started.
She's deeply flawed and deeply rough around the edges, but she redeems everything where she can and continually puts in the effort.
Yes, agreed.
It's a very relatable thing.
And then third highest rated, 8.8 out of 10, was season 4, episode 6. That was Spin the Bottle. And this is when Lauren does the spell to try and restore Cordelia's memory. And everybody reverts back to, like, their 17-year-old version of themselves.
It was fun to see high school Cordelia.
Right. It's like, oh.
Very easy to slip back in.
I wish I could ask her and be like, how was it fun to slip back to her?
It was great. I did love that, too. And even Wesley. Wesley is so obnoxious.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to punch him in the face.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I just like seeing young Angel / Liam look at traffic for the first time.
Oh, that was great.
Demons! Demons! Yeah.
It's great.
They're loud.
We always enjoy Fred because she's just so silly. And she wants some cheese. A pothead. Yeah, like, who knew?
Yeah.
Asking everybody.
It's always the genius. So it's always, you know, it's always the super smart people you don't expect to be the, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, it just
you gotta blow off steam somehow. You're using your brain all the time. You gotta slow it down in some way. You know, I get it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yes, clearly she did that a lot.
Gunn is not really different.
He's
not
a little
really.
He just doesn't remember
a little more
them.
Boisterous. Yeah, he's definitely a little more out there, but he's still very much Gunn.
He's very much Gunn. Yes, not a lot of changes for Gunn over the years.
I wonder why nothing happened to Lorne.
Because he did the spell, I guess.
Wakes up, he remembers everyone. He knows everyone. He has all his memories. So it's like, how did they all lose it and Lorne did not?
I don't know. But I guess we needed a plot where there was some way to fix it, right?
So I guess.
Yeah. That's probably really why.
This should be lower rated.
Our lowest rated, we have a tie. 7.2 out of 10. So first
That's too high.
Season 4, episode 4. Slouching toward Bethlehem. Unable to remember her friends and scared by the world of demons and vampires, Cordelia takes refuge with Connor, who saves her from a demon attack. Disgusting, their entire relationship. And then season 4, episode 18, shiny, happy people. While everyone else worships the beautiful woman Cordelia Bohr, which is Jasmine, Fred sees another side of her. So those are our two lowest rated. But
that's not the one that I thought needed to be lowest rated. Where is episode
7? No, it's, I was going to say, because that's not 7. Apocalypse Now-ish, but I don't know what the rating is.
Oh, wait, wrong season. Season 4. 7. It's an 8? 8? That maybe should be like a 3.
Maybe it's because of the rest of the episode, because I think the fandom does not care for this at all. But I'm assuming it's based on the whole episode. Because up until that point, I don't think the episode was bad. But the last, you know, 5, 10 minutes, whatever it is.
Anytime they have a moment where they look at each other's eyes or she randomly kisses him for some stupid reason, it just ruins the episode for me.
So gross. It's gross.
Like, I understand him having a crush on her. That's normal.
Yeah.
But Cordelia, you literally, I mean, I know it's fake Cordelia at this point, but you literally have admitted that you were in love or potentially still in love with Angel, and you're going to go sleep with his son.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Oh, no, she can't get to Angel.
I want to say curse words.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you can't get to
Angel. Take the next best thing.
She can't get to Angel. She'll get, you know, the carbon copy. She'll get the...
She could have had Angel.
She'll get the next in line.
Angel was waiting for her. Mm-hmm.
But fake Cordelia didn't want Angel. She wanted Angel dead.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know. I know.
It's fake Cordelia ruined everything.
Of course fake Cordelia ruined everything.
You know? But yeah, it's so gross. And then I hate the way they even wrote the entire thing. Like, the next day... She's just like, oh, you're just looking too much into this, whatever. I thought the world was ending. And then it's like 2 episodes later, she's just like, oh, but we're going to have a baby together. And let's just be like all, it's gross and confusing. And I hate
it. They didn't even need to show it. Like, as soon as she said what she said to him, I knew what was going to happen. We didn't need to see it.
Yeah, but if we didn't see it, it wouldn't be edgy and cool. It wouldn't be.
That wasn't edgy. That was disgusting.
We wouldn't push the envelope and do something cutting edge and something.
That wasn't cutting edge.
I know. I'm just parroting what everyone else would say.
That was horrific.
Yeah.
So terrible. Okay, let's go into the trivia. which unfortunately will also include more discussion about those. All right. I'm so sorry.
Ashley's having a great time. Having a great time here.
So let's start with a good
shower.
Let's start with a good one. Spin the Bottle. Okay, so Joss Whedon said that Spin the Bottle came out of his desire to see Wesley return to the bumbling moron of the past. We were reminiscing about the days when he was a complete idiot, and so we thought we wanted to see old school Wesley, but also cool new school Wesley. So that's how that came about. And Whedon gave Lawrence Spell the side effect of making the gang high to differentiate the his memory spell from the one that was used over on Buffy. So, yeah. And he said, or he readily admitting that the spell itself is lazy writing, only meant to set the plot in motion. So,
I mean,
but that was a fun episode. So
it was lazy writing anyway. Like, you know, I don't know. I think that's kind of a weak argument.
Reusing something. Pretty much copying and pasting.
I guess because he kind of copied and pasted from the last one, but it was different. It wasn't the same spell.
But I don't know. Everything is sort of, everything is copied and pasted from everyone. It's like, it's not, no two are going to be exactly alike. So it's like, I don't know, use one trope from over here and over here and just see what it works and then compare and contrast. I don't know.
True. Maybe he felt like it was lazy writing for himself because he was reusing something he already did in a different show. Maybe that's like a personal thing to him.
Probably.
That could be. Yeah.
Yeah. But wasn't it, I found it hilarious when Wesley kept finding his weapon.
The weapons.
And he's like, oh my gosh, don't touch my arms. And then he like lifts his like pants to see
if he's looking around. What else do I have?
I was cracking up.
Oh, so funny. And even
who did he see? Which one like set it off a second time? Because it was one of the girls.
I can't remember. Yeah.
I don't know if it was Fred. I think it was Fred. And
he said something,
and all of a sudden, and I'm like,
yeah. Yes.
Lovely. Innuendos. Great.
Too funny. And I even loved when Angel figured out he was the vampire, just like the slow realization in the bathroom. Yeah. And he's just like, I'm the vampire. Sorry, bro. Yes, you certainly are.
Yikes.
So that being said, this episode did take much longer for them to film because the cast found it difficult to stop laughing.
I don't blame them.
Yep. Amy and Andy ruined dozens of takes by giggling, and Alexis and David prolonged shooting for an hour and a half when they couldn't stop laughing. And to get the scene, Denisoff explains that he and Boreanaz had to resolve basically to not look at each other. And then Whedon points out in the background that you can still see Boreanaz failing to keep a straight face. So, yeah.
I mean,
I don't blame him.
It was very funny. It was very, very funny. I love it. So here you go, Ashley. Whedon notes that he already knew that Connor and Cordelia were going to have sex, but the story had to move faster than he originally planned because of Cordelia Carpenter's pregnancy. So, yeah, there you go. That was always
a thing.
Always a thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jossie.
I thought it was just added in, but.
Jerk of a man.
So gross. Yeah. So gross. Okay.
It's disgusting, but it really is very much like Greek tragedy. I mean, the whole thing, because all the gods and the goddesses and all the characters, like they're all banging each other and cheating on each other and hurting each other. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not justifying it, but that's like, you can see
it is
kind of going with that. Yeah.
What Greek? I don't know this.
Specifically. Bad I just know there's
English
a lot major. Of that.
There's. But there is a Greek tragedy where he actually, like, the main character is a child, like, 18, 19, right. And he sleeps with his mom.
Oedipus. Oedipus, right? Yeah, Oedipus. No, that's the whole thing, yeah.
This is very
absolutely
Oedipus.
Absolutely is.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a reason I don't read Oedipus. I had to read it in
I mean, as weird, it's like, I don't know. The goddess of love was literally born because some other god cut off his genitals and it grew into a thing. So, you know, there you go. Right? Kronos, like, gives. Or, like, yeah. So it was like Herod who cut off Kronos's genitals and it threw him to the ocean and that grew into Aphrodite, right? Something like that. It's something, or something like that. I'm probably getting some details mixed up, but.
Oh, yeah, it was when Cronus castrated his father Uranus.
Okay, so Uranus was, Uranus was castrated. And, that's what it was.
Yeah, Cronus castrated his own father.
Well, at least we didn't get that.
Also, right? Uranus. At least we didn't follow Uranus. That.
Yeah.
That's never not going to be funny.
Thank you.
I mean, we have a planet called Uranus.
It's Uranus now.
What? I was going to say on the Tiki Talks, that's what they say. And if I start hearing that, I'm like, no.
There's literally a video that like starts the opening line, deep inside Uranus. Look it up.
That's what they say.
Look it up and then read the comments.
I have never heard of this.
Just go on TikTok, look it up.
Because I'm not on the Tiki Talkies anymore.
I bet it's on Instagram somewhere too.
The best thing is the comments.
Since we're talking about it, it's literally going to come up in my feed now.
The best there you thing, go. So you'll get the to fact hear. That all the comment, every single comment is what you would think it is. And I'm like, I'm so happy that we're all grown adults and we're still laughing at this joke.
Oh my gosh. Oh boy. We're going. Certainly sidetracked. Okay, let's go. Okay, so long day's journey. This episode was dedicated in loving memory to Glenn Quinn, one of Angel's original stars, Doyle, if you don't remember, who died tragically on December 3rd, 2002, and that was the episode that first aired after he had passed away. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a nice thing they did. Solace was the directorial debut of Sean Astin, who's better known for his acting roles. I didn't know that. I was like, that's a fun trivia.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I was like, what?
So Samwise Gamgee. Is that Samwise? Yeah, that's Sam, right? Am I thinking the right person? Is that Sam?
She's definitely asking you. I have no idea.
Yes, that was Samwise Gamgee.
From the Goonies.
Directed a. He's also Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy.
In school.
He's also. He's also.
He's in NCIS for a little bit.
And Stranger Things. I mean, like,
Bob
he's in everything.
From Stranger Things.
He's Bob from Stranger Things, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. He's in a lot of stuff. But yeah, I thought that was very cool. Yeah. And so. Apparently, he had told his friend Douglas Petrie that he wanted to direct episodic television, and he would love to do an episode of Angel. So his dreams came true.
Aw, that's cool.
And he got it.
Very cool.
Yeah. Episode titled Release. After 44 appearances as a guest star, Andy Hallett was finally added to the opening credits. So he became a full-fledged star. And my understanding is that they had been trying to get him as an official star of the show, and the network was like, we're not paying him for that. So, no, he can be a guest star. You know how the networks are.
Ugh.
And their ratings went, boo, you know, in season 4 because it sucked. And they thought they were going to be canceled, so they finally got him added to the credits because then you get residuals for the show. Yeah. So that was a nice thing that they did. And then luckily, you know, they'd have another season, so. Mm-hmm. And then as we know, Willow Allison comes on set and she was super excited about it. And then what I really liked was that Alexis said, I feel like it's a play day. I have to keep reminding myself that I'm at work. My girl is here. Really, all I want to do is run over and give her a hug.
Oh, that's so cute. It's so weird to me that Wesley is married to Willow in real life. My brain does not equate this.
Yeah, my brain still does struggle with that. Yes.
Because it's hard for me to see him as Alexis, because I've never really seen him interact in like videos and stuff as a normal person or any other role. The only role I've ever seen him as is Wesley. So it just doesn't make sense.
but it's cute. So Belle reveals that the fight scene between Angel and Angelus took 2 days to film, was something that he had waited to do for 4 years. According to Terrence O'Hara, the fight scene was created by a split screen, of course, camera lock off, and we played back to match shot for shot. He was hitting space. So there you go. And there's a bit when with Jasmine is around. They're doing like karaoke, like an open mic night.
I saw that.
and Angel and Connor sing together. They sing Mandy because that is Angel's parent go-to song, except they replace it with Jasmine, and it's very so cheesy.
Funny. It's so
but
good. I just like
the guitarist that backs. No, Gigi, no, go ahead before I share my little trivia.
I just like seeing Angel and Connor just have a nice moment together because they've had so much anger and so much resentment. It's like they're actually getting along for like even as a silly thing, but like it's like actually makes my heart happy a little bit.
It was cute. I really liked it too. I did. But the guitarist that backs them up was Ozzy Osbourne, lead guitarist and Black Label Society frontman Zach.
Oh my god, Wild. I love Zach Wild. I totally forgot he was in that. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So he made it to an episode of Angel.
Wow. I completely forgot about that.
Apparently, Zach and his entourage were so enthusiastically and persistently foul-mouthed that they had to remove the children from set.
I'm not surprised. That sounds like Zach Wild. Good old Zachy Poo. I love him.
Yeah. So there you go. That's all the trivia I've got for the season. But it still sucks.
It has a lot of moments that are very gripping. Like there's a lot of scenes that are really just like, I don't want to watch this. This is horrible, but I can't look away. It's like that level of just, you know, I don't know. It sucks you in and it makes you sad and depressed, but you have to watch it to the end. You got to finish it. At least I had to. Obviously you couldn't, but I had to power through it because I was just like, I had to see how this ends. I had to see where this is going eventually. It's got to get somewhere eventually.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just too, like, honestly, it's just too dark for
what
it
is.
Like.
No, I completely understand. Buffy
is very dark, and it was very close. Like, season six is very hard for me to even get through because it is not as dark as this, but it's dark to me. Like, that is my level of dark I can go to. And then anything beyond that, I'm like, you're going into the horror thriller crap, and I can't do this. Like, it gives me anxiety. It makes me have nightmares. Like, I have a real problem with that sort of stuff. That I just, Angel went there and in this season, and I couldn't go past it. I'm surprised I got through seven episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, it just continued to go downhill there.
So. And it's not even just, like, it's not even just the content. It's just the overall tone. Like, there was just a shadowy tone. Like, I don't know. I always think in terms of...
There's no levity.
But I always think in terms of visual things. And, like, as dark as Buffy got, there was always, like, still some colorful feelings to it, you know? Angel, it was just dark tones, gray tones, pastel tones, very just somber everywhere. It's like... I mean, there's a whole episode or a whole thing dedicated to there's no sun out. And it felt like there was no sun out for a long time, you know, until they finally killed the beast and, you know, we're able to get it back. But yeah, no, it was dark in more ways than one.
I'm so excited to watch Firefly because at least it has, like, humor.
Firefly has warmth. Firefly has warmth. That's a...
I love Firefly. I'm so excited that I get to do the Firefly episodes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the movie.
That's one of those, like...
I haven't watched Serenity in so long.
That's a... Firefly is like, I am who I am because of Firefly. Me, personally. That's
That's nice.
My, like... What shaped Dan's personality? That's a big part of it.
So we need to have a whole section on that episode. What shaped Dan?
Yes, obviously. Obviously. It has to be a big focus.
I mean, I'm the only one that exists, and you're all just figments of my imagination. So when I die, you're all going to disappear.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Good to know.
I don't like that. Wait a second.
Come on, man.
I am my own person.
I mean, we're all just brains experiencing the world secondhand. We're all just a nervous system.
Listen, we are already in darkness.
You don't need to pull me into an existential crisis right now.
We're heading right
to actually have an anxiety panic attack online.
An existential crisis, you mean Tuesday for me. Every day is an existential crisis.
Clearly.
I live there.
Clearly.
It's fun.
Dan, you and I are opposite ends of a
and
coin.
And that's what, but and that and that's yes. why we're friends.
And I think that's why we're such that's why good we're friends.
Like we exactly. we need like you are the moral conscience, and I am the devil. I challenge. So I really, challenge you.
Really,
you challenge.
In this universe, in this pixie dust universe, I am the angel on Samantha's shoulder, and you are the devil on Samantha's shoulder. So we're just here to keep her balanced.
That doesn't seem like it's going to go well, unfortunately. If that's my job, I'm just saying.
No. It's our job to keep you balanced.
But that means I have to listen to you, right?
You never listen to me.
Well, you can listen
exactly.
to
exactly. I don't listen very
it's
well.
You
never.
Ultimately, it's your decision. You have to decide whatever you want to do. You know, I'm just showing you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it. What do you really want? What do you want? What do you want? Tell me what you want.
You sound like me to my dog. What do you want right now?
That's literally all day. Literally, right? Okay. What is God. It?
What do you want?
What is it, Samantha?
Why are you
what
staring
is it, Samantha,
at me?
That you want? Tell me.
You know, I probably go to the dark side. So, Ashley,
well, you've actually seen the show I'm referencing, so I was hoping you would get the reference. But
oh wait,
tell me.
Oh, the there Lucifer. Yeah, Lucifer. It's a great show.
I've never finished it, show? But it's pretty good.
Well, is it a dark show? I mean, he is like literal devil.
Is it Angel season 4 dark?
It's not even, no, it's nothing like
tone wise, it's Angel. Probably more like Supernatural than anything.
See, I want to start Supernatural. I've never watched that either.
But there's like 1,000 seasons.
Yeah, that's why I can't commit to it.
That's my problem.
I wanted to get into Supernatural because everyone talks about how good it is, but it's like, I don't have the time for that, man. I didn't have the time to rewatch Angel. How could I commit to 15 seasons of a show that's been on for God knows how long? I started it.
I do not want to know how many times I've been through NCIS all seasons. Yeah.
It's too many.
It's so much.
I have probably been through the season double digits at this point.
So many episodes.
Because I just have in my background music. My background.
I mean, shows I've seen a lot. Yeah, I guess fair. I might get through them pretty fast because I can just have it on and not need to pay attention to it.
If I like you, I will go through the whole thing. As long as you don't give me panic attacks. No, Supernatural, I have a feeling that like after a couple couple seasons, it's going to get really dark because I know some things that already happened and... Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel, but I probably won't finish it. But I would like to at least watch a couple seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what happens.
Someday.
And I always have reels of Jared and Jensen come up on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. And they're just hilarious together. And I just love them together.
Funny.
So it's like, I kind of just want to watch them in their element for at least a couple seasons.
Yeah. Well, let us know how that goes.
I ever get it started. I still have to watch Dollhouse. Is Dollhouse going to make me depressed?
Yes.
That's a yes.
But a cathartic depressed. It's not angel depressed. Put it that way. Like, it does get dark, but it's more like...
Okay.
It's dark because you feel for the characters. It's not dark because everything's just depressing, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been through it a couple times, and I don't remember everything. I just remember I say this every time. That first season's kind of gonna be kind of like you're gonna have to trudge through it because you're for the first maybe 5-6-ish episodes, it's gonna be like I don't know what's going on and I don't know who's who and who to trust. So just know that going in.
Oh, pity.
Like, it's especially the first episode is probably the hardest in my opinion, but. If by the time the later episodes rolls around, things start to kind of turn, you start to see, okay, I get what this world's about, then you're going to be, at least for me, I was hooked by then, so. And it's only 2 seasons, so by then, it's like, it's not going to be like Angel where you're going to have to be like, ugh, all this again. All this stuff I got to watch.
Please tell me we're doing something non-depressing in September, because I feel like...
I don't know.
I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, Dan's about to abandon us.
Side note, we actually need to talk about the Hocus Pocus Mystery Science Theater because we wanted him involved.
Yeah? We do. I know. Yeah, we got to figure out when we want to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, anything else for season 4 of Angel?
I don't have anything.
I probably do, but I can't think of it at the moment. So it's probably going to come to me like well after we're done recording.
Well, if we're in season 5 and it comes to you, just check it out. All right, Pixie Dusters, I'm sorry for watching season 4 if you watched it with us. I couldn't finish it. But hopefully you enjoyed season 5, and we will talk about season 5 next week. So see you real soon. Sorry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.